910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Despite steps taken by city leaders to discourage gathering, a sixth night of protests continued in Los Angeles overnight. ABC's Matt Gutman is there.
LA Mayor Karen Bass issuing a curfew for downtown LA that could last several days, hoping it'll stop vandalism and looting of businesses.
Law enforcement will arrest individuals who break the curfew, and you will be prosecuted.
But protesters continue to pour into the streets of downtown LA. And when hundreds of protesters briefly blocked traffic on the 101, police pounced.
The Los Angeles curfew has now been lifted. Anti-ICE protests taking place on Tuesday in many cities, including New York, Chicago, Milwaukee, Atlanta, and Boston. Tesla CEO Elon Musk appears to be having a change of heart about what he's posted about President Trump. He went on X saying he regrets some of his past posts. Slight rise in inflation on a month-to-month basis, the government says. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin's tourism industry saw another record-breaking year in 2024. According to new data released by Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Tourism, over 114 million people visited the state in 2024, generating a total economic impact of nearly $26 billion. The previous record was set in 2023 with about $25 billion of economic impact. In addition to the growing number of visitors and the money they generate, the tourism workforce also grew by over 2% to 182,000 jobs. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development have announced over $10 million in grant funding for regional workforce development organizations across the state. It's the second round of grant funding awarded through the Worker Advancement Initiative, which seeks to assist workers who lost their jobs during the COVID-19 pandemic by offering subsidized employment and skills training opportunities. The Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board will receive nearly $700,000 of that grant funding. A Birchwood man has been charged with burglary and assault after allegedly breaking into his ex-girlfriend's residence in Rice Lake. Felony charges of burglary committing battery on a person and felony stalking, as well as misdemeanor charges of battery and theft, were filed against 56-year-old James Everett in Barron County Circuit Court on Thursday. Everett is accused of breaking into the residence on May 28th and injuring the victim's leg and nose, as well as stealing a $350 pair of glasses. He faces up to 15 years in prison. Ashland residents will have an opportunity to dispose of hazardous materials in their homes this weekend. The 30th annual Clean Sweeps Collection Program will be held at Ashland High School on Saturday from 8 a.m. to noon, giving residents a chance to dispose of items that can't be tossed in the usual trash. Most household items will be free to dispose of, but there will be fees for some items like light bulbs, batteries, and small generators. Residents who bring unneeded prescription medications to the event will also receive a free donut from the police department. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers minicamp continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Day two of the Packers minicamp, GM Brian Gutekunst spoke to reporters on the practice field, saying although the team held firm on their offer to Jair Alexander, the two sides met in person on Sunday before the decision to release him.
Well, I think we wanted to give it as much time as again. He's a really good player, and you know, I think as he came in, had really good conversations with him on Sunday, and I just kind of felt this was always best.
Baseball, the Brewers and Braves series wrapping up today. The crew with a 4-1 win last night over Atlanta, thanks to home runs by Jake Bowers and Jackson Churio on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Churio into center, well struck, it is back and it is gone!
Manager Pat Murphy.
A lot of good performances, great to see Churio. William Contreras was great on both ends. Bowers hit the big homer.
In golf, Peyton Albers of Wanakee, the winner of the Division I Boys State High School Golf Tournament. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We are going to have a little more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Our high 78 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Partly cloudy tonight, 48 the low. Tomorrow, some of the morning scattered showers in the afternoon. Our high tomorrow, 74. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, it'll be this week's edition of Broad Appeal. I'll be talking with Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood Advocates Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach is here.
I'm here.
Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of stuff coming up on the show today. Brad Sturmer is the principal at Winskill Elementary School, which is in southwestern Wisconsin, kind of near B-Town, in that southwestern corner.
B-Town.
And they're trying a new way of teaching math.
Love it.
I'm very excited about this, yeah. And I'm really looking forward to hearing from Principal Sturmer about how this works, what is different about this. I remember a number of years ago when they started talking about new math. Remember that?
Yes, and I've heard my friends who are parents
complain about
pull their hair out, like, new math. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't think that's what this is.
No.
And you're right, from everything that I had heard about that new math, From what I had heard from various parents on the internet was basically it takes you three pages to get to the same answer.
I think it takes three pages for us to get to the answer, whereas kids are like, you're making it much harder than it is.
Than it needs to be.
Yeah.
So Principal Brad Sturmer is going to be joining us in hour number two after the 10 o'clock news, so I hope you can stick around for that. Rich Smith, longtime friend of mine and co-founder of the 6th Street Theater in Racine, co-founder of Over Our Head Players. They have done remarkable, remarkable things.
Oh, yeah. What's their big winter show again?
Snowdance.
Snowdance.
They perform short plays. They get entries from all over the world now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
Little
cool.
Racine.
It's
a global hub for theater.
Racine is a great place that does not get their flowers enough, in my opinion.
I would agree.
That's what I believe.
I would agree. So Rich Smith joining us in hour number two after the 10:30 news. And we will wrap it all up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Human Popsicle Edition. Stick around for that. Greg is just shaking his head.
Europe.
Don't forget, we got a couple more days left, 3 days.
Yeah.
For our statewide Text to Win Scotty Summer Contest after 11 o'clock. Listen for Greg and me to give you the keyword you want to text in via the Civic Media app only. And you could pick up either a hot $100 in cash.
Hot cash.
Or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club level seats. And then everyone is in the drawing for the grand prize. A summer vacation in either Door County or Baraboo with gas money to get you there. So be listening after 11 o'clock. And keep in mind, spelling counts.
Yes, it does.
Because I was watching yesterday as the entries were coming in, and there were many, many, many spelled incorrectly.
Yeah, you gotta.
And unfortunately, you're not going to be entered that way.
Correct. And you have to come in through the Civic Media app. You can't text us, can't call it in, can't even email it, because that's all happened in the past.
Yeah. So, yes, be listening after 11 o'clock. Get your phone ready with the Civic Media app and then text in that keyword for some wonderful and fabulous prizes. You could be a winner just like Dave from Seymour, who is listening in Green Bay on WGBW, or Stella, I'm sorry, Sheila in Phillips, listening on WCQM Park in Park Falls.
Park Falls. I don't know.
Near Butternut.
Near Butternut.
Near Butternut.
Nowhere near Amory. Amory.
It is not near Amory. But Butternut, my new favorite place. I've never been. I just like knowing that there is a Butternut, Wisconsin. Knowing it exists just makes me happy.
I love that there's a You Bet, Wisconsin. Because like, oh, you bet.
Oh, you betcha.
Oh, you bet.
You betcha. So, yes, be ready for that after 11 o'clock. And please remember that spelling counts. Wanted to start off with just talking a little bit about the situation in Los Angeles. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass yesterday issued orders for a curfew for about a mile section in downtown Los Angeles. Yeah. Started at 8 o'clock last night, ended at 6 this morning in order to stop bad actors from taking advantage of the situation. There were obviously some protests against ICE raids that had happened in Los Angeles. I believe it was Friday this all started. Mm-hmm. There has been some violence. There has been some looting. There were about 100 people that were arrested, I believe, yesterday. But for the most part, this hasn't, they're not burning down buildings. Downtown Los Angeles is not burning.
Yeah, it's a peaceful protest. The people who are protesting with the goal in mind, which is to stop the ICE raids in Los Angeles and making a statement around the country, this is being peaceful. And they're promoting it as such. It's like, please do not do those things. You're not with us if you loot, if you burn cars.
If you cause violence. Yeah. You are working at cross purposes. So that is the situation right now. Pretty interesting to see the different things coming out of Washington, depending upon which side of the aisle you were on. And this made me stop yesterday when I saw this and go, what? Speaker of the House Mike Johnson talking to reporters on the difference in his attitude toward the protests going on in Los Angeles versus the attack against our Capitol on January 6th of 2021. Here is Mike Johnson's quote from yesterday. Everybody wants me to relitigate January 6th. I'm not going to do that. There's a very clear distinction between the two. He says the LA rioters are destroying property, unquote. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe there was over $2 million worth of damages done when the insurrectionists attacked the Capitol on January 6th of 2021.
Yep, they did.
And they were attacking our officers.
They were looking to attack elected officials.
That too.
And they were breaking windows and breaking structures and stealing things and defecating in certain spots of the building. This was a violent attack on this country, not just a piece of property. Like, I'm not for anyone getting their property stolen, burned, looted, but if he's making a case to say they're destroying property in Los Angeles, well, last time I checked, those now pardoned traitors to this country destroyed and burned a very valuable piece of property in this country, which is the U.S. Capitol. So I think it's a lot. There's a lot of comparisons that can be made. And the fact that Mike Johnson doesn't want to, quote, relitigate it says a lot that he...
They just can't back away from it fast enough.
No.
They really can't.
No. And it would have been, honestly, this is what would have been one of those things where, like, the first week after, everyone pretty much agreed that this was a horrible...
After January 6th.
Yes. It was a horrible, horrible event. And then it became fashionable to say, well, we don't know. We don't know who was really there.
Well, then it became a tourist visit.
Came a tour. Oh yeah, they were tourists. They were walking between the velvet ropes, so they of course were following the rules. And then their big thing is like, well, no police officers died that day. That day, Jane. That day. But they don't talk about the five who were either died or permanently affected by it. But yeah, I'm sorry. I get really, when we talk about January 6th, I get really mad because to me, there's no clearer case of traitorous insurrection that's ever happened in this country, period. And to for Mike Johnson to hand wave it away, to be like, it's totally different. And Los Angeles is incredibly worse.
Yeah, everyone wants me to relitigate January 6th. Hey, Mike Johnson, you're the one who is still sitting on that plaque.
Yeah.
To honor the officers who protected our Capitol on January 6th. There is a plaque that was supposed to have gone up. It's at least 2 years ago now.
Mm-hmm. It's just still sitting there.
Yeah. It's still sitting there.
Yeah.
Because they cannot admit that this was an attack on America and our Constitution because they were doing it in support of Donald Trump.
But back the blue, Jane.
Right.
Back the blue.
Well, and then Donald Trump, I believe yesterday, also said at one point in one of his messages about what's happening in Los Angeles, if you spit, will hit. Now, for one thing, I don't know. Spitting is revolting, and I don't know why anyone would spit on another human being. I think it's reprehensible. But he didn't have a problem. He pardoned all the people who attacked our officers on January 6th.
Yeah.
And for all we know, some of these guys are now part of ICE.
Well,
don't know.
Yeah. I think that if we're going to talk about Los Angeles, I mean, the thing is, this is absolutely, once again, they did this with the BLM protests in 2020. There was any sort of rioting, any sort of violence that may have happened in this worldwide protest that brought in millions of people to march to the streets of cities all over the globe. The few people who did anything wrong, in contrast to all the people who participated, they're the problem. That's what they always focus on. If there's a little bit of violence, if there's whatever, that's what they focus on, because they don't want to sit there and say, well, maybe there's a problem with ICE just going in and raiding without identification, with masks on, going to ceremonies, going to workplaces, going to grocery stores, going to all these different places to just pick people off the street and throw them in jail in South America. There's no self-actualization or realization or self-reflection on that, much like in 2020, where it was like, I don't want to make any sort of self-reflective comment on the problem with the police and the community. It's those tens of millions of people who protested around the country, they're terrible because there was rioting and looting, even though there's very few examples of that. It's always going to be the worst actors are going to become the absolute example of what's happening.
And be representative of everyone who was there. Mm-hmm. Of everyone who was there.
Yeah.
There was a protest in Milwaukee yesterday. The crowd made their way to the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement offices. Again, there were no reports of violence that I have seen. Good.
Yes.
There's no excuse for that. And unfortunately, when you set things on fire and you start looting, that plays into this narrative. Mm-hmm. They're also saying, many people are saying, that these are paid protesters. For some reason, it is impossible for some Republicans to get their head around the fact that not everyone is excited about the Trump agenda. And that people would actually do this on their own. Mm-hmm. We've asked numerous times if anyone has ever gotten a check from George Soros, please send us the pay stub.
Yeah.
I would love to see it.
Yeah. If you're going to make that claim, which goes also back to the original point of they don't have anything else, so they have to make these wild, inaccurate, almost comically funny claims of George Soros is paying them. Is he paying them cash? That's a lot of physical cash. Is he giving them a check?
Yeah, there's lots of handoffs going on.
There has to be a paper trail. I'm really surprised there hasn't been some kook liar nutbag who's just
made one up,
taken a picture of a $20 bill and said, I got my Soros money. But there's no check. There's no paper trail. There's never been. No one has. And I'm talking about the people who don't like Donald Trump, who march against Donald Trump. They're not paid either. They didn't get, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no proof whatsoever. So this narrative of George Soros is paying everybody. No, get a new line.
It would be refreshing.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
It's exhausting, Jane, because you would think at some point those narratives would just wither away because a majority would have the opinion of like, that's ridiculous. But there are a lot of people who still believe it. They believe that all of Los Angeles
is burning
to the ground. They think that the BLM protests were a terrorist. They think January 6th was nothing more than FBI and Antifa. Like,
oh, yeah, it was right. They were FBI agitators.
Yeah, they still push it because they don't have their, wait for it, research done.
You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We will continue this. You can also join us on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Summer, summer, summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill backed by Donald Trump that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off,
and give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Oh, what a prize!
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, 2 to 4, Todd Albaugh Show across the network. He will be joined by Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Nice.
And also Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor of the Lincoln Project at 2:30. Dan Schaefer going to be joining.
Mm-hmm.
Civic Media's political editor, founder of the Recombobulation Area, has a new piece out that we're going to talk about after the bottom of the hour news.
Yeah.
And then in the 3 o'clock hour, join Todd today for What's Worse. Today it is the end of life celebrations. That should be fascinating.
End of life celebrations. What's worse?
There's all kinds of possibilities there.
Welcome to my I'm gonna die party.
Yesterday it was pizza. Today it's death.
Yeah.
You never know what it's gonna be. I know it's a great segment.
Yeah.
It's kind of like our audio sorbet where they take a little break away from the news. Yeah. Join Todd today from 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Wanted to talk a little bit about prices. We were talking about Los Angeles, of course, and the deployment of the National Guard and also some U.S. troops not requested by Governor Newsom or the California Attorney General or the mayor of Los Angeles or the L.A. Police chief. But the Pentagon has set the price tag for the 60-day L.A. troop deployment at $134 million.
60 days, too. 60 days?
60 days.
$134 million. Well, Jane, what I would like to do with that $134 million is I'm going to take that because this is a performative show of force, and I'm going to just tack that onto the $45 million that's going to cost us for the parade, the birthday party. I'm sorry, I guess Chuck E. Cheese was booked up that day.
Yeah, couldn't have it there.
So we're going to have a birthday party on Saturday.
In D.C.
In D.C. for El Presidente, dear leader. So I'm just going to put that on top of that. So $45 million on top of the $134 million. So that's about $179 million so far.
But we don't have money problems.
Don't have money problems.
You know, we don't need to cut SNAP or take food away from hungry children. Or, I don't know, kick people off their health insurance. Or, oh, wait, we are doing that.
Yeah. Yep.
But we've got almost $200 million to shell out for this vanity parade. Yeah. Which is essentially what it is.
Well,
because we looked up, it is not just the Army that has their 250th birthday this year.
Mm-hmm.
So does the Navy.
The Navy as well. It's October the 13th.
And so do the Marines.
Well, they don't celebrate 250, I think.
No.
But still, they have birthdays every
year. They have
birthdays.
There are birthdays for other branches of the military this year.
Yeah.
Not having parades on those days.
Nah.
I wonder why that is.
It says a lot that they're not going to have one for the Navy. They're going to be 250. It's October the 13th. That's Tiffany Trump's birthday.
There's a perfect excuse.
No birthday party happening for her, which says a lot about where she falls in the children's popularity.
What's really interesting about this is that there are reports this morning from Politico that a whole bunch of Republicans aren't going to be at the parade.
What?
Senate Majority Leader John Thune and Majority Whip John Barrasso will not be there. Also, not attending Dear Leader's big parade on Saturday, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise. House Speaker Mike Johnson's office did not respond at the time. Of course he'll be
there.
He'll
be there.
Of course
there will
be
consequences if he doesn't show
Absolutely.
Up. And you better bring a present.
Senator Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma will not be there. Senators Lindsey Graham and Rick Scott also not going to be there. Also skipping out on the big, beautiful parade to celebrate Trump's 79th birthday, House Freedom Caucus Chair Andy Harris. You know who will be there? Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, God. I think it's cute that we're saying $45 million.
It's going to be high?
It's going to be way more than that.
Much higher.
It's going to be way more than that. They're going to be outfitting actors to be in the parade. They're going to be the Army has committed to repairing any damages that it's caused to the streets or the properties.
These tanks are expected to rip these streets up.
And they're also shutting down at least DCA, which is the national airport, aka Ronald Reagan Airport, which I get yelled at every time I call it that. But they're shutting that down for like 3 hours. That's going to cost money, too. They're going to have to divert flights because they were probably selling flights before this decision was made. So, yeah, this has a huge cost, a huge price tag. And I would like, once again, please, anyone out there who thinks we're wrong, that we're liberal commie trash, tell us why this is a good idea.
And why this is justifiable.
And then tell me in the same breath you are fiscally responsible.
Calvin, with a little correction here, the Marine Corps turns 227 next month.
Ah, then never mind.
Thank you for that, Calvin.
Never mind. No parade for you.
But again, sorry, Navy.
Yeah.
Your 250th anniversary doesn't fall on Trump's birthday, so you don't get a parade. Or maybe they will.
Yeah.
Maybe they won't. That's not till October.
Maybe we'll
just do these, you know, a couple times
seasonally.
A year.
Seasonally.
Yeah, we'll just do them a couple times a year for his big birthday parade.
I have a feeling, and we can talk about this more tomorrow, that it's not going to be as available on the TVs as you think. But we'll discuss.
Are we going to say, hang on to that?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We have news coming up next, and then we're going to talk about Dan Schaefer's column in the recombobulation area that dropped yesterday. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
For loving you, you, I try so hard to do what's right, but you only wrecked my life. Oh, what a price I had to pay for loving you, you. I stopped my rambling.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has announced that over 82,000 residents have added emergency contact information to their Department of Motor Vehicles records through a new program. The program was created under the To Inform Families First law signed by Governor Evers in 2023. The goal is to help law enforcement authorities connect with emergency contacts faster in the event of a serious crash. The emergency contact information can be added on the DMV's website and is only accessible to law enforcement authorities. The Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority is accepting applications for grant funding aimed at improving housing and shelter services in the state. The agency opened the grant application process on Thursday for nonprofits and cooperatives that provide emergency shelter services, transitional residents, and extremely low-income housing. Chosen organizations will receive a share of $2 million in grant funding with a maximum award of $50,000. The application can be found online and must be submitted by July 31st. The Lake Superior Zoo will be undergoing some renovations after receiving state grant funding. The Duluth City Council recently accepted a $150,000 grant for the project, which will include the planting of new trees, adding new educational signage, and creating a new animal orchard and browsing forests. Zoo officials hope the renovations will benefit both visitors and the welfare of the animals with more shade and natural food sources. The zoo recently took in nearly 200 new animals, displaced by the closure of SeaQuest in Roseville. One person was seriously injured in a two-vehicle crash in Barron County on Sunday. Law enforcement authorities say the crash occurred on County Highway P near Almena just before 6 p.m. They say a pickup truck being driven northbound by 26-year-old Oscar Ledesma crossed over the center line and sideswiped a pickup truck going southbound. Ledesma's vehicle then rolled off the road and landed upside down before a fire started. Ledesma was pulled from the vehicle and taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. Authorities believe alcohol may have been a factor. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete Schwabe. God has apparently taken a break from helping athletes win games and is focused on Hollywood. According to the Crazy Town Tribune, comedian actress Roseanne Barr is claiming God is the one who told her to send a racist tweet in 2018 that ended up getting her fired from The Conners, which was a reboot of her previous show, Roseanne. Barr says God, by telling her to tweet, helped her wake up, enabling her to be fired from The Conners because she was having nightmares about the show. So God wanted her to send a racist tweet. God still apparently made The Conners quite successful without her, which is odd. If you're like me, you're wondering what exactly is God's angle here, as the Supreme Being remained pretty hands-off when it came to other sitcoms like Seinfeld or Modern Family. Barr also admitted to being on a mixture of Ambien and alcohol on the night of the tweet, which probably made it a little harder for God to wake her. Folks, apologies are out, and nowadays it's about the double down, and this is one of the most convoluted I've ever seen. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We are going to have a little more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Our high 78 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Partly cloudy tonight, 48 the low. Tomorrow, some of the morning scattered showers in the afternoon. Our high tomorrow, 74. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Current temp 62.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin,
chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome our pal and Key and Peele writer Rich Tallarico and Up North News editor Christina Laurie, and I talk fun Wisconsin stories. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after 10 o'clock, we're going to talk to the principal of Winskill Elementary School, which is in the southwestern part of Wisconsin. Brad Sturmer is going to join us to talk about the new way that they are teaching math. Mm-hmm. And they also have a literacy program that we're going to discuss. But I'm very, very curious about that. They've had a lot of success with this. I'm assuming it's not just someone giving them answers, because that's what I would go for. I can improve your performance in math here.
The answers are in the back of the book. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Yes. Show your work.
Brad Sturmer will be joining us coming up after the 10 o'clock news. Rich Smith after 10:30, the co-founder of the Sixth Street Theater and Over Our Head Players and so very much more. Sixth Street Theater located here in Racine, and they're remarkable. I have, full disclosure, I've known Rich for decades. I've done shows with them, mm-hmm. had the great honor of doing shows with them, so we go back a long way.
But nice.
What they have helped bring to the Racine community and what they've done to help revitalize the downtown area and Sixth Street in particular has really been impressive.
Yeah.
So stick around for that. Wanted to talk about this a little bit because this is making news, as it should.
Yeah.
Dan Schaefer in the recombobulation area where you can subscribe. It's an absolute deal. Dan Schaefer says, pass the torch. Tony Evers should not run for a third term as Wisconsin governor. Love to hear from you on this. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can call and or text. Should Governor Tony Evers run for term number 3 or no? Pretty Wisconsin way to phrase that.
I think that I don't disagree with Dan. I really don't. And that comes from that statement is based in a bigger discussion on term limits, on age, on, once again, passing the torch, which I actually believe is applicable to both parties, to any party, really, when the people in charge are either getting older or getting to the point where they're not making the best decisions, or they're like, you know, I'm thinking of Congress and Senate. Like, there are people in the Congress and Senate who are obviously making decisions that are not, I feel, in the best interest of the people. And that goes for both sides of the aisle. But with Tony,
how many Democrats have died in office so far this year?
Yeah, it's I think it was two have died in office. Five politicians have died since the election, I believe.
And they're all Democrats.
I believe they're all Democrats. But I think that, you know, There is a problem, at least in the Democratic Party, where there is not a lot of like looking for great candidates. They're hoping that they'll pop up and appear, but the fielding of candidates, going out there and looking for those
recruiting.
Thank you. Looking for alder people or just looking for community leaders and saying, all right, so-and-so, you are great. We want to run you for this position. And then in a few years, we'll look at this and that. But instead, like right now, you can name a bunch of Democrats who can run for the primary, but are they the best options right now?
Right.
And I'm afraid that Tony Evers is going to look at it like and say this kind of the same thing Joe Biden did last year, which is, well, I can fix this. I can take care of it. Well, yeah, because there has been no link to anyone else taking over. So Joe Biden was supposed to be a bridge. He called himself that. He was going to run for one term and he was going to be a bridge.
Right.
Then all of a sudden he's running again for office. And I think that was a surprise to some people. And then he's out and Kamala Harris gets 90 days. I think with Tony Evers, he needs to make this decision now.
And I think that's the part of the point in Dan's column.
Yeah.
Let's not stretch this out.
But also, I think there's a responsibility on Tony Evers as well as the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, which is to say, let's not have a 10-person primary. I'm not saying don't have a primary. That's not what I'm saying at all. Well, maybe I am. And I'm sorry if you think that's undemocratic. But I also feel like in this day and age, we need to rally the troops sooner than later. And there is a bunch of comedy that comes along with watching a bunch of leaders in the same party dunk on each other for 2, 3, 4, 5 months.
Right.
And then they're all like, oh, but the guy is great.
I love him.
Oh, we're the best of friends.
I love this guy.
Even though I said he was mostly a Trump supporter, I was kidding. So that's the problem is I feel like regardless of what Dan says in the article, which is it says clearly in there, he does not think that Tony Evers should run again. I think that it might get to the point where it's going to be too late. He needs to make a decision now. We're a little less than a year and a half away from the election itself.
Right.
But we have to go through a primary, and you got guys on the other side who are jumping up saying, "I'll do it. I'll be the GOP governor."
Well, and Tony Evers has said that he's not going to announce until after the state budget is completed.
Well, and last time I checked, they're not even talking about that.
And that could be when. Lots of comments coming in on the live stream. John says, boo, can't blame him as the pressures have to be immense. He's not getting any younger, but who is on deck at this point? And Tony also in the live stream, run, Tony, run, but maybe have a primary to kick the tires. I haven't seen any declines in Evers. I would love for him to be able to actually enact his agenda for the benefit of the state.
For one thing, I think if you're saying maybe have a primary to kick the tires, that to me, that is saying have a primary just to see, just so you can have one. If you want Tony Evers, then you want Tony Evers. And you're not going to
have a primary.
I don't think you're going to entertain anybody in the primary, then you're doing it for show. Can't blame him as the pressures have to be. But yes, absolutely. Being the leader of a state, a city.
He's 73.
Yeah.
Tony's
73. I don't want to have to wait for cognitive decline. I'm not talking about cognitive decline. Dan discusses that a lot in the article, especially in terms of Joe Biden. And Tom on the live stream says Tony Evers is not Joe Biden. That is very true. That is a factual statement in reality. But my point is, I think there is something to be said about any politician. And I'm thinking of some Democrats in Congress right now where it's time to just say, it's time for me to go. It's time for me to hand this off to somebody else, someone I trust. And this is the person, or these are the individuals I see as the right people to entertain for the job. I think if he runs again, the point of a primary is almost pointless because he's going to be the guy.
Right.
He's going to be the guy. And then there are people, Democrats in this state, who might not want that, who might not want someone who's just a foregone conclusion. And unless the Democrats make gains in the Senate and the Assembly, we're going to be right back where we started from.
855-752-4842. We're talking about Dan Schaefer in the recombobulation area out with a new column. We will discuss this more with him on Friday when he joins the show. But should Tony Evers run for a third term? 855-752-4842. Gene from Eau Claire on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thank you for joining us. What do you think?
I think he should run. I'm a big fan of Tony Evers. Everybody would complain, oh, he's not in front of the TV enough. He's not talking out enough. He is a workhorse, not a show horse. Every time I call his office, I don't know him personally, don't know anybody in his office. I get calls returned. Most of the people I know that call his office, he's an outstanding governor. He was out there patching roads. He's been down on our side of the state more than any other governor that in the history of Wisconsin that I'm aware of. He is a good governor, and Republicans like him. Independents like him. I know some diehard Republicans. They like him. So I don't see any problem with this, and I think starting out with somebody new with the way these people are and the money that's going to be coming in, people feel secure with him. You know, he may not be out there banging a drum, but he is doing work, and he's talking to the people, and he comes to our side of the state frequently. And he's good with kids, and he cares about them, and yeah, he's a great guy. Okay. Can't ask for a better guy. So that's just my opinion with the way things are right now in our country.
Really appreciate it, Jean. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I like Tony Evers. Mm-hmm. I think Tony Evers is a great guy, and I especially love, and some people might use this to make fun of him, but I love the fact that he is not polished and slick and all of those things that we mm-hmm. see from some other politicians. He's a very genuine human being.
I don't disagree with that, but I also disagree with what Gene was saying, though. It's like, if you're the governor and you are the head of the state and you are in a very tumultuous state with a lot of division politically, you have to be a bit of a show horse. And that's one of the things that Tony Evers has really not done well. And that's to their detriment, which is...
You mean to come out and say, here's
what I'm doing. It's not bragging. You're talking about your achievements. That's a laudable thing. That's important that people... You know, Gene talked about the independents and the Republicans that like him. We need more of people to know that. And when you don't talk about those achievements like Joe Biden did during his presidency, people are going to be like, well, he's a terrible governor. Do you know what he did? He's done a lot for this state, and he's trying to do more for this state. I don't dislike Tony Evers. I like him as a governor, and I like him as a person. But if he's going to run again, there has to be a concerted effort to be the front guy, to be the one out there talking about his achievements at all costs, because he's got to shut down the narrative that he's done nothing. Because
right.
It's out there, because anybody who doesn't like you is going to say, well, what has he done? Talk about it. Say something.
That's a good point. 855-7. He's got to be more braggy.
Yes.
Got to be a little more braggadocious.
He doesn't even have to be. Send other people out there to do it
to talk
for
about
him.
It.
Like, it's not that hard. How many times have we talked on this show about the time we were like, why aren't they talking about these things?
855-752-4842. Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Good morning. First, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. I think if the Democrats are going to have a primary, that they need to stand on one thing, and that's to get all money out of politics and have public funding of campaigns. And the thing is, in Wisconsin, when you have how much money was spent in that Supreme Court race, that's just the regular race. So I think what the Democrats need to do, if they're serious about getting money out of politics, is they need to say, in our primaries, you are not going to have money in politics.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do that. And I think they want money in their politics right now because they need to run to survive. But
well, especially if somebody like, because I really think they're going to tap Eric Hovde again. I think the Republicans are going to tap Eric Hovde
so pathetic.
Because he can help pay for it because he's got the cash. He can at least fund some of it himself. And I think that that's going to be attractive.
Yeah.
And Bill on the live stream says, if we use your thinking that it's time that Tammy steps down, we all know that progressives in the state want Ben. No, thank you.
Ben Wickler for governor?
I haven't seen that, Bill.
I don't know anybody who wants, and this is nothing against Ben Wickler. I don't know anyone of putting Ben Wickler into the mix of that. I've heard him talk about, I've heard discussions of Congress, but there's a huge field of people, Democratic stars in the state. They're stars. Are they effective leaders?
You can join us. Join the conversation. 855-752-4842. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back. After all the things we've done, I'm seeing you find another man. The
things you think are useless, I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years, sewing away the time? Are you gathering up the keys? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years?
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a highly controversial action, President Trump is testing the reach of his powers by sending 4,700 military personnel into Los Angeles to suppress protests. What are Title 10, the Insurrection Act, and the Posse Comitatus Act? The Posse Comitatus Act forbids the use of the military to enforce laws against U.S. citizens under ordinary situations, but there are extremely rare exceptions. In his mobilization of the California National Guard and active duty Marines, Trump invoked Title 10, a statute enabling the U.S. Armed Forces. Section 251 says, whenever there is an insurrection in any state against its government, the president may, upon the request of its legislature or of its governor if the legislature cannot be convened, call into federal service such of the militia of the other states in the number requested by that state and use such of the armed forces as he considers necessary to suppress the insurrection. No such request was made by state officials. Under the Insurrection Act, the American Constitution Center notes three circumstances where a president may use the military on U.S. soil: when a local official asks for assistance, when an insurrection against the federal government or judiciary occurs, or when a state refuses to uphold civil rights. What constitutes an insurrection? That will likely be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach. Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after 11 o'clock. Be listening for the keyword that you want to text in as part of our statewide Text to Win Scotty Summer Contest.
Who will give that keyword, Jane?
You and I. You Wait. And me.
Yeah, you and me.
You and me.
You and me.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
You and me. We'll be giving the keyword after 11 o'clock. You want to text in via the Civic Media app, and then you will be in the running for either a hot $100 in cash or a pair of tickets to see the Brewers club-level seats, and then everyone who enters is in the drawing for the grand prize trips. So Scotty Summer, a getaway either in Baraboo or Door County with gas money to get you there. Nice. So that's coming up after 11 o'clock. Be listening for that keyword. You have four chances a day through this Friday in the 7, 11, 2 o'clock with Todd, and 4 p.m. with Maggie Dawn. So be listening again. Your next shot coming up with Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Keyword coming your way after 11 o'clock, spelling counts.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you get it right.
Yeah.
Because I saw a whole bunch of entries coming in that were wrong yesterday. And we would like you to get entered. So that's coming up after 11 o'clock. Did want to spend a little time on this because I remember last year when Western North Carolina was hit so hard. Mm-hmm. By flooding after one of the hurricanes that had come ashore in Florida. And this was not something that they expected because of the topography of the area. But that area is still struggling. And the Biden administration got all kinds of heat for allegedly, which wasn't true, using FEMA money to house illegal immigrants. But there was all kinds of criticism coming from the right on the Biden administration isn't doing anything to help these people, and that's, you know, terrible, terrible. Well, I got news for you. President Trump has announced they will be phasing out FEMA. After this year's hurricane season, emergency managers around the country say they are baffled. This is a complete misunderstanding of the role of the federal government in emergency management and disaster recovery, a FEMA leader says. It is clear from the president's remark that their plan is to limp through this hurricane season and then dismantle FEMA. Donald Trump says that governors should be able to handle it. This should be handled, disasters like hurricanes and tornadoes and all those things. This should be handled by the state level, saying governors should be able to handle it. And if they can't handle it, then maybe they shouldn't be governor. Western North Carolina, by the way, is still in trouble. There are parts of Arkansas that are still in trouble. There are areas of Kansas that are still in trouble. And we are just at the beginning of hurricane season.
And we've seen Republican leaders begging for help. Josh Hawley comes to mind.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yep. It's
FEMA has already entered this year's hurricane season understaffed and unprepared. Kristi Noem, Homeland Security Secretary, says FEMA fundamentally needs to go away as it exists. We all know from the past, FEMA has failed thousands, if not millions of people. President Trump does not want to see that continue in the future, so we're going to let their state government fail them?
I mean, that's the thing. That's a couple of things that really just grind my gears. Burn my grits. They burn my grits. One, this statement has failed thousands, if not millions. Okay, show me the proof. Show your work. What has happened? And has FEMA responded to any of those failings? Because I'm sure FEMA doesn't want to fail people, but money constraints,
manpower,
staffing constraints, cooperation from government leaders constraints. But also the other thing, too, is they have failed. So instead of trying to make it better to help, we're just going to get rid of it altogether because this is a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
And if it's not helping, it's a failure and get rid of it. And that's it. Done.
Federal and state emergency managers warn most states do not have the budget or the resources to replace FEMA infrastructure, even if the U.S. government offers some assistance. But Donald Trump and Kristi Noem have made it pretty clear that they're going to be cutting back on that. President Trump said yesterday the FEMA thing has not been a very successful experiment. It's extremely expensive. And again, when you have a tornado or a hurricane or if you have a problem of any kind in a state, that's what you have governors for. They're supposed to fix those problems. So suck it up, buttercup, I guess.
So California Governor Newsom is threatening to withhold their taxes to the U.S. government. Is that what Wisconsin should do too? If we're not going to get money from the state or from the federal government to mitigate these problems, then we shouldn't have to pay certain monies to the federal government that would have been used for dispersal for essentially a nationwide shared revenue dispersal. This if Wisconsin's on the hook for these things, guess what, folks? They'll never get paid for. Because as it stands right now, this state house in Madison will pay for nothing. They'll do nothing.
They're pretty consistent about
Robin
that.
Robin DeVos will find a he'll call it meteorological welfare. That's what he'll call it. We don't do welfare in this state. And if your house was hit by a tornado, it's your fault for your house being there.
Well, I just really feel for all the folks who are struggling now and will be struggling.
Yeah.
Because again, we're just at the beginning of the hurricane season. Although, wait, I forgot. The weather machine that Democrats controlled under President Biden is now under control of the Republicans. Mm. So we won't have any more hurricanes unless they didn't read the manual. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump announcing a new trade deal with China. The U.S. will get magnets and rare earth minerals from China, and the U.S. will agree to let Chinese students continue attending U.S. colleges and universities. Tariffs on Chinese goods will also be totaling 55%. Inflation picked up a bit last month as higher prices for groceries and some imported goods were offset by cheaper gas, travel services, and rents. Tesla's CEO appears to be backing off his criticism of the CEO of the country.
Elon Musk this morning is expressing some remorse, posting, quote, "I regret some of my posts about President Trump last week. They went too far," though he doesn't say which posts he feels went too far. Musk, of course, spent a lot of last week ripping into the president over his budget bill, his tariffs, even suggesting impeachment and leveling that deeply personal attack, accusing the president of being involved in the Epstein file.
ABC's Mary Bruce, the curfew now lifted in Los Angeles following protests against ICE immigration raids. This is ABC News.